Okay, we're picking up from Nun Amud Aleph. We are 10 lines from the top of the Amud with the words Tana. So we're going to discuss it today for the Hamshech of this Amud. Is all about how to remove the status of, or can you remove a status of something that's generally Muktzah before Shabbos. It says the Gemara now, Tana Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kmeida Rav. So Rabba Bar Chana taught a Tana in Braisa before Rav. Chariyo Shel Dekel Shel Gadron Le'etzim. So some Rashi says that if you have like these hardened branches of the date palm, that you harvested them for wood, so specifically to use them as firewood, which is going to be muktzah, right? Because you're using them for an isra purpose of it's wood that's used generally to light a fire, so it's going to be usher and muktzah machmas isra. So the Gemara, klishim lachal isra. So the Gemara says, v'nim lachalei and leishiva. So then you change your mind, you decide you're going to use them as a bench. So that's mutter on Shabbos. So what can you do to then, because that generally is, that type of wood is generally used for lighting a fire. So says the Tana over here, Tzarech Lekasher, he has to tie them into bundles before Shabbos in order to remove the status and make them non-mukta. Rabbi Shimon of Gamliel Amar, Ein Tzarech Lekasher, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, he doesn't need to tie them. It's if he just, we're going to see that if, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you just need to think about it. As long as you think the fact that you're going to use them, that's enough. You don't actually have to do a Maisa. So the Gemara says, Hutani Labu Amarla, so Rabbi Chana taught us Braisa, and he also said, Alacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Alacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that you don't need a Maisa, you don't need to actually tie them, as long as you think that you're going to be using this wood, that would be sufficient for usage on Shabbos to make it not Muktzah. Gemara now says, Itmar, Rav Amar Kosha, Rav says that you have to tie them, Ushmuel Amar Choshev, and Shmuel says he has to sit on, he has to think about it. If he thinks about it, that he's going to use them to sit, that is going to be mutter. Ravasi Amar Yoshev Alpi Shalokishev Alpi Shalokishev. Ravasi says that even if the person, if he just sat on them on Friday without having in mind that Dafka, he's going to use them on Shabbos, that is going to be enough. That's going to be enough for him, even if he didn't have direct intent to use it on Shabbos. Just interesting to note, the Ron points out, though, that over here, I would have thought that Ravasi is not necessarily going to be more Makil than Shmuel that says about Machshava. Yet the way the Gemara formulates, it's clear that the Gemara is assuming that it's more Makil, meaning Shmuel says all you need to do is think about it. Ravasi still said the guy sat on it on a Friday, he decided to use them as a bench. So he's saying the guy didn't really think that he was going to use them on Shabbos, but since he sat it on a Friday, then he's allowed to sit on, it on Shabbos, even though he didn't necessarily think about it on Shabbos. So the Ron points out, like, even though Rav Asi is dealing with a Maisa, the Hainu that you sat on it, but still, since it has nothing to do with Shabbos alone, so the Gemara assumes that the Gemara clearly indicates that that is still the most Mekel Shita. Even though having it in mind, you would have thought maybe it's less than a Maisa, then without having it in mind, the Gemara is showing us that Rav Asi is the most Mekel. The Gemara asks a question though. The Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Damar Katanak. Rav is going to hold like the Tana Kama that you need a Maisa. Ushmuel Namek Damar Kamal Shemang Leon. And Shmuel can also line up with the Tana. He's going to hold like Rav Shemang Leon. However, the Gemara asks now, Ella, Ravasi, the Amar Kiman, who is Ravasi going to follow? We don't have any Braisa, we only had two Shitas in that Braisa, and Ravasi's not going to line up with any of them that are that Mekel, that if you, even if you use something on Friday, without necessarily showing that you're going to use it on Shabbos, but use it in a manner, which now is not the normal manner, so then you're allowed to use that in that not necessarily normal manner on Shabbos as well. So the Gemara says, where do we find this Tana? The Gemara says, Udamar Kiatan is going to hold like the following Braisa. The Sanya, the Braisa tells us, Yotzin Befikorin Uvitzipa. A person is allowed to go into the Rishus Rabbim on Shabbos with this type of combed flax or combed wool if it's on, he had a wound on Shabbos, Rashi says. Bizman Shitzavan B'Shemen Ukrachah B'Mashicha. Provided that, what did he do? He has to dip it into oil before Shabbos and then you wrap them around with a string. However, Lo Tzavan B'Shemen V'Lo Karchah B'Mashicha. If he didn't dip them in oil or wrap them around with a string, he's not allowed to go out with him on Shabbos. However, if he went out with them on even a few moments before Shabbos, when it was still daytime on Friday, even though he didn't dip them in oil, wrap them around with a string, he's permitted to go out with them on Shabbos. So this last part, Rashi points out, this is like Rav Asi. This opinion over here is like Rav Asi, because he says that sitting on the benches is enough, just the man makes item. So too over here is that if a person over here does the Maisa, if you went out with them for a short while before it was daytime, even though he didn't do the second option of dipping in the oil, wrapping around, to showing a Maisa, to show that it's mutter, to show that it's not muktzah for him, that would still be okay according to this Tana. This is the Shita of Rav Asi. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Asi brings another support for Rav Asi. Afanam Ataniyo could also bring from the Mishnah. Hakasha al gabe amita. With you have straw that's on a bed. Lo yinar biyada. Person's not to move it with his hand. Amanal begufo. Person allowed to move it with his body. This is actually the heter we mentioned this before. Is the heter Rashi says of kalachar yad to do something in a manner which is not normal, a person is allowed to move muktzah in that fashion. Aval imaya macha behema, but if the straw was designated as food for animals, which is not muktzah then, oshaya alav kara usadin mibod yom, or if a person put a pillow or sheet over it on Shabbos, over it before Shabbos, so then may not be able to, the person allowed to move with him, meaning it's not muktzah. So that shita over also, if you put the pillow or the sheet, Rashi points out, that is like Ravasi. Even though you didn't miyachet to use it on Shabbos, but since you used it in the fashion, which shows you didn't want to use it for a muktzah purpose anymore, then that is going to be like Ravasi, that's going to be Shema Mina, that is a good raya, that he's going to hold like this mission as well, this Tana over here. So the Gemara says, Uman Tana, the Paligalar Rashi Magliya, we just called it the Tana Kama. Do we know who this nameless Tanakama was that disagrees from Hashem HaGalil and requires you to have a Maisa to undo the Muktzah? So the Gemara answers, yes, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. Dichi Asar Abdimi Amar Ziri Amar Rabbi Chanina. Pam Achas Alach Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva L'malkum Echad. One time Rabbi Chanina was going to a certain place and Matzah Choryal Shadek L'Shagurim L'Shum Eitzin. He found branches of a day palm that were harvested for the sake of wood, specifically firewood. He said to his Talmidim, he said to his students, go and have the machshava, meaning go, right? Have the intent to designate the branches that we use them tomorrow. And I don't know, meaning here you only had the intent mentally. You didn't do a maise. They didn't do an actual action. However, he's saying that I don't know if it was for a wedding or for a house of mourning, for shiva purposes, is why he had this heter. So the Gemara says now, who is this? The Ziri, the one who's quoting the story, this is the one who had this question. So he's saying that Ziri, saying, I don't know whether it was daf, I don't remember that the fact that it was a simcha, or a besa'av, so he was saying that the diuk is that clearly dafka beisavah lebeis mishnah the treaty only in a situation where a person is preoccupied either with the simcha, which is a mitzvah, or davar mitzvah, or with regards to a beisavah, which is also a mitzvah, that's the only time he's going to be mekel. However, in the situation where one ties the bundles, we can make the diuk that he'd be machmer only where you're doing the maisa, where you have to do an action. Only doing an action would be mutter. However, in a normal circumstance, if you don't do an action, that would not be enough. So we see it's only mekel b'shas chak where you had a mitzvah going and they were bothered. However, in a normal circumstance, with regards to the wood over here, he would agree with the chumrah, so that Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, it must be the Tana Kama. That's what we see as a proof for over here. Just Aga, by the way, we see though that even the Tana Kama then is going to be Mekel at Tzarech Mitzvah if we're going to line him up with Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, because Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva himself was Mekel with regards to Beis HaMishter, Beis HaAvel, to point that out. Okay, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Machlis Adam Melech Kiposa Afar Ve'osabo Kol Tzarecho. Rav Yehuda said that a person is allowed to bring a basket full of dirt into his house before Shabbos and use it for whatever he needs on Shabbos. Rashi says, right, to cover if something gets dirty or saliva or spit or whatever, all these type of things on Shabbos, to cover it up. So normally dirt or earth, literally, is going to be mukta. However, person is allowed to use it on Shabbos for a heter purpose. So the Gemara now says, Darash Marzucha Mishmei de Marzucha Rabba, Gu Shiched Keren Zavis. This is dafka when a person set aside a corner of his house for storage of that dirt, meaning he piled it up in one corner and he didn't spread it on the ground. However, it seems to be Rashi says that if he scattered over the ground in the house and then people are gonna walk on it, then Rashi says that it's gonna become batel, it's gonna be nullified to the ground. Ki'iluad, it's like the ground and the ground is mukta. Meaning, they didn't have what we have, cement on the ground. They had, that's why the whole the mash v'guma, so making of whatever, not getting to that. But Elmaisa, they didn't have normal paved ground, they had dirt was their floor. So if a person is using that for the dirt, there's mibatel to the regular ground the guy's using, and then it's going to be mukta. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abana Kamei Rapapa." So the rabbi said before a papa, "Kiman, who is this shita?" Kirabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So it must be that you're following Shita Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that only a machshava is required, right? That you don't need a maisa. Di'ir karbanan darei bainan maisa. Then da'ir karbanan, sorry, harei bainan maisa. That if it's like the rabbanan who said that what they said that you need an action, then this isn't considered an action. Why isn't this an action though? You're in the Maisa, you took the dirt from outside and brought it inside. I would have thought that is enough of an action to show that you plan on using it over the course of Shabbos. So the Tosfos Rashi answers this. He says that bringing offer, bringing the dirt from one place to another is not considered an intrinsic difference. You didn't change anything. All you did was you just brought it from place A to place B. You didn't show that's not enough of a gilui das to show that a person wants to use it and make it not muksa anymore. So the Gemara says, Amar la Rapapa. Rapapa said back to the rabbis, Afilo tamer Rabbanan. No, you consider Rav Yehuda even works with the Rabbanan. When do the rabbis say that you need a maisa when it actually needs to perform to make it not mukta, an item that's normally mukta, to make it not mukta before Shabbos? That's only in a situation where something is capable of making the action, meaning like the palm branches we said before, that you can tie them, that you can tie them together, show that you're going to use it as a chair. That would make it an obvious mice over here. But in a situation over here, when it comes to the dirt, you're not able to do anything. What do you want to do it for? You want to spread it when someone spits on Shabbos or it gets dirty. How am I supposed to do that before? I can't possibly physically do that before Shabbos, before someone spits on Shabbos. So what I do the most I can do by bringing it into the house where there's no actual physical mice. More than that can be performed. Everyone's going to agree, even the Rabbanan who are normally machmir. So this is what Rav Papa wants to taina. So the Gemara says this, Neima Ketanai, maybe this is true, that Rav Papa, even within the Shita Rabbanan, maybe this is actually a Machlokas Tanayim as well. How does that work? Because the Braisa says, Bechol Chafin Esakilim, someone could rub utensils to shine them on Shabbos with any substance that he wants, except for Klut Mekle Kesef Big Gartikon, except for silver utensils with this... But this is tartar, right? It's this type of thing like chalk or something like that, which they would use it. Rashi says it's like from the barrels of wine. They used to use this. And it was a soft, if you do it from silver, which is a soft metal, and you scrape it together, it'll smooth out, which is the Issa Deraisa of Mimachik, of smoothing. So if you do that, then you're going to be smoothing the silver. That's usher. However, Haneser V'chol Mutter, we see that the Braisa seems to imply that if a person is using natron or sand, then to shine the silver, that type of substance, those substances are going to be permitted, and they're not considered as smoothing the silver. However, V'atanya Neser V'chol Usser, yet it was taught in a second Braisa that using this natron or sand is going to be usser. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this is the machlokas over here. My love, bakam liflagi. Maybe this is what they're arguing about. Demar savra be'inan maisa. That really, it's all about mukta. So therefore, one man de armor holds that we require an action to be formed, meaning you have to actually start sanding it before Shabbos. And Mar Savra lo be'inan maisa. And the other one says that you don't necessarily require an act of, meaning that normally natron or sand is going to be considered mukta. So one holds that since there's nothing you can do, that we're going to let you use it on Shabbos to smooth it. However, the other one holds that no, since an action is required and you cannot do that action before Shabbos, so there is no way to kilu unmukta, to make it, to remove its mukta status. So therefore, according to that mandamar, it would still remain usr. So the Gemara says, no, that's bichlal not what this Mishnah is talking about. This Mishnah, the Braisa rather, this Braisa is talking about a different argument completely. Lo, tekuli alma lo ba'inan maisa. Everyone agrees that where there is no action that you can do, everyone's going to agree that even the Tanakama is going to say that you don't need action. Velokasha, so what are they arguing over here? HaRabi Yehuda, HaRabi Shimon. The Braisa is following Rabbi Yehuda, and one Braisa is following Rabbi Shimon, meaning, right, with Davar Shein HaMiskaven. We're going to see this over and over throughout the Masechta. The Davar Shein HaMiskaven, according to Rabbi Shimon, if something is not bound to happen, and you don't have direct intent to do something, then it is not going to be usher. So when it comes to using this tartar, right? To using the tartar, then everyone, even Rabbi Shimon is going to agree that it's a psik resha, that it's going to be inevitable. If it's inevitable, everyone agrees that that smoothing it would be an issur d'oraisa, even if it's only a result that's an action that you don't necessarily you want to smooth it. You wanted to shine it, and it just happened to be that smoothing it. Rabbi Shimon would agree that if it's definitely going to happen, that's still usher. We're talking about where it might happen. So the machlokas over here is that when it comes to the natron over here and the sand, those two items might smooth it out or not. So when something might happen, we know Rabbi Shimon holds davar. That's called davar shinu miskaven. You don't intend to. When you want to shine, all you want to do is shine this silver over here. You don't want to smooth it out. So if smoothing out might only happen, so then it's going to be okay. However, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that that's usher. Rabbi Yehuda damar davar shinu miskaven usher, and Rabbi Shimon gomer davar shinu miskaven mutar. So one shita that said it was usher to do this with the neser and the chol, where it might happen, is Rabbi Shimon gomer says that it's mutar, and Rabbi Yehuda says usher. And Rabbi Shimon is the one who, he says constantly, we saw before, who would say that this case should be mutter. So the Gemara says, now, b'mayu kimtel ha'adashari, so now that you said that the Braisa is shitas Rabbi Shimon, ki Rabbi Shimon ima sifa, then we should look at the later part of this very same Braisa, which says the following, aval lo yachof b'hem sa'aro, a person may not rub his hair with them. So the Gemara is talking about over here that they're going to remove the sa'aros. If you remove the sa'aros, that's going to be an issue on Shabbos. moving your hair on Shabbos. But according to Rabbi Shimon, he says it's mutter disnan. He says that using nazir chofef misasis of alosorik, a nazir is allowed to rub his hair on his head with this natron and sand, and he's allowed to separate his hairband, but he's not allowed to comb them. A nazir is not allowed to move his hair, right? He's not allowed to move his hair, drink wine, or drink things like that. That's all part of the nazirus. The person accepts the nazirus upon himself. He's not allowed to remove any body, any wine. He has to grow out his hair. He's not allowed to remove any hair. He has to grow out his hair. Yet, Rabbi Shimon and Davar Shem Eskavin, we see is machlokas on Shatnez throughout Shas. It doesn't necessarily apply to Shabbos. Most of the halachic implications will apply to Shabbos, but there are other, like this one is another example where Davar Shem Eskavin applies to a different sugya completely. That removing the hair of a nazir is an Isser Daraisa. So yet, a person, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is allowed to rub his hair with natron, and he's allowed to separate with his hands on Shabbos. So we see that using it will not inevitably remove hair. So why are you assuming that it's going to be considered, that we see that according to Rav Shimon, it's mutter, not, we're saying that the brace that we saw before says, lo yachof basara, that you're not allowed to rub his hands. So it can't be that this is Shitas Rav Shimon, it doesn't line up with the brace. So where says you're right? Elohava Rabbi Yehuda. We have to assume that both braces that permit rubbing the utensils is actually both according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So how could one say it's mutter and one say it's asur? Just like Gemara says, Trei Tanei Aliba Rabbi Yehuda, that there are two Tanaim who differ in what Rabbi Yehuda really meant to say. Meaning they said, they argued on what Rabbi Yehuda should say in the case. Why is that? Hai Tanei Aliba Rabbi Yehuda Savar Garir. So one of them, one of the first Tana is going to hold that using these two items, the sand and the natron over here, if someone's allowed to scrape the utensil because it might actually come to smooth it out. However, meaning, and since it might happen, then it's going to be usher. And the other Tana else know that it's not never going to happen. It's impossible. And therefore, since something is never going to happen, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it is going to be, it's not inevitable. According to this, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's mutter and something that might not happen. So that is how we're going to come out. So that if something, whether it's, so basically the whole argument is whether something is capable or not capable. The Gemara asked, though, the Gemara says that this isn't enough of a proof yet. The Gemara says, "Mayu kimta ki Rabbi Yehuda, you establish that the braces are both according to Rabbi Yehuda, ima sefa, but consider the final part of the braces, which says, about panav yadav raglav mutter, but washing his face, his hands, and his feet with these type of items is going to be permitted. Ha me'aber ser, but according to them, though, you're moving hair from your face. So how is that going to be mutter according to Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, so ibais ima bekata. So you could give one answer. We're talking about a katan, a minor who doesn't have any facial hair, so it's not a problem. Ibais ima or leg hair. Ibais ima beisha or a woman who doesn't have that. Ibais ima besaris to give three terutzim or a person who was castrated. None of these people have facial hair. So therefore, since they don't have facial hair, that was what Rabbi Yehuda is saying because there is no removal of the hair. Okay, so the Gemara now talks about different agents for usage on washing them on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, offer the levain shara, using this type of powdered spices, one of the levain is one of the levona, I think one of the things in the Ketoros. To wash the face is permitted even for someone who has a beard. Why? Because we're assuming it's not necessarily going to remove hair, and that's like Rabbi Shimon. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef of Kuspa Diasmin Shari, that using this like top of solid residue of jasmine is going to be permitted. Amar Rava says, again, all these things we're assuming is not necessarily going to be 100% removing hair. Offer Pilpale Shari, that ground pepper is permitted. Amar Rav Sheshes, Barda Shari, Barda is permitted. And we're asking them, what is Barda? That's Mutur. Amar Rav Yosef, Tilta Olive, Tilta Asav, Tilta Sidli. It's 1/3 aloe, it's 1/3 is a myrtle branch, and 1/3 violets. Amar Rav Nechemia Bar Yosef, as long as not a majority, meaning you don't need 1/3 of aloe, even if you don't have a more than half. But as long as you don't have more than half of aloe, then it's going to be permitted. However, once you have more than half, Rashi says he's going to be agreed that it's definitely going to remove hair and it's going to be usher. Again, pointing out, using a hairbrush, everyone agrees, is fully, fully usher because we don't assume it's ever Shem Eskeven, it's mamash going to be an isser, and it's very important that people realize that they cannot use a brush. Okay, so the Gemara now moves on to a different topic. Says the Gemara, they asked from Rosheshes, Ma olive so zaysim b'Shabbos. Is someone allowed to like split olives on Shabbos? According to Rashi, the purpose is you wanted to sweeten olives. They are very bitter, and this is the way you would be able to open them and split them and make them sweeter. However, many Rishonim, Tosos over on the side, Tosos Ishanim, quote the Gaonim, and they disagree with Rashi because this is mamash nothing to do with the topic at all, even though it's a little bit of the Gemara. According to the Gaonim, most people quote is that the Gemara is asking right now whether you can split olives in order to wash one's hands. So that was similar to what consists usually to washing your hair, washing things like that. So it's a little bit different, but not like Rashi's kisses mamish, completely different topic. The Gemara says, Amar lehu, so they said, are you allowed to even split olives like this during the week as well? So the Gemara says, what was he bothered by during the week during this? Kasar Mishum has said, Ochlein, Rosh Hashanah was bothered. It'd be wasting food. Wasting food is usher, according to Rav Shesik. Mar says, Limit Pliga, Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Osadam, Kol Terka, Pas. But Shmuel says, a person is allowed to use bread or any other food for anything that he wants to do, anything that he's overall benefiting for him, and he's happy doing it. According to Shmuel, it's mutter to do that. So Gemara says, no, even Amra, even according to Shmuel, Pas Lomisa, bread is not going to be, you're not be making it disgusting by using it. That's when Shmuel says it's mutter. However, Anamasid, but by the discharging the olives like this, and this way of splitting it is going to make it gross, and therefore it is going to be usser. That was the havamina that it should be even Shmuel would say that it's usser. So the Gemara, and again, according to the Gaonim, the Gemara would hear that when you split the olives, you're ruining the olives itself, according to the Gaonim. So the Gemara now says, going back to the previous topic, the Gemara says, they were all sitting together on Shabbos. Ayisul kamayo bardas. They brought for them barda. Meimar v'ravashi mashu. Marzutra l'mashu. So Ravashi washed with it on Shabbos, and Marzutra didn't wash with it. Amrulei. So they said to him, to Marzutra, who didn't wash it, Losever mar laha dem Ravashi's barda shari. Ravashi's told us, we saw the halacha before. It's mutter to wash with it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amrulei of Mordechai. Mordechai said to them, bar minei demarda filu b'chol lamilas virlei. But Marzutra, because he even the weekdays he doesn't hold that it's allowed to be using it. Why? Several like he had decided that Gemara he quotes like the Braisa. Marzutra held like this following Braisa: Megar adam galide tzov iglinimakal shal b'sar b'shul tzara. A person allowed to scrape off filth and a wound on his flesh on his body if he is uncomfortable. And the Gemara says, however, in liapos aser. So if he was, and if it was done to make himself beautiful, it's going to be usher, Rashi says, because that'd be the iser daraisa of lo yilvash. A person just doing it to beautify himself is acting in a way, a feminine way, and doing things that women generally do, in this context, going to be usher. And where it's about dyeing one's hair. If a person is dyeing his hair, that's what women do. It's an iser daraisa of lo yilvash. If a lot of these examples of lo yilvash is doing things in a feminine way, a lot of these things would be major, major shilas. So he held that this was usher to do this even during the week to wash with this because of the fact that he held it was a problem of yilbash. Some had it just even with watches. Let's say the Chazon Ish, the big hakpada about wearing watches, the big shaila lechora. It's definitely not necessarily. Maybe at the beginning it was, but for sure now many men wear it, so not necessarily going to be. But again, that is a machlok. I don't know if you go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, very makir about it to take off your watch if you're in front of him. He holds like the Chazon Ish, so that's really problematic. Okay, so that's the problem of yilbash. Mark is that inu kaman svir. So who did Amimar and Ravashi hold like that or make it? They held that. The Braisa tells you, no, you're allowed to wash your hands. It's not a feminine thing to be doing. You're allowed to do this each and every day in honor of Hashem. Mishum Shinera Kol Pashon Lamad. The Pasuk says, and Hashem is brought out for his sake, meaning that a person should keep his glory. For his glory, a person should be, Rashi says, that when a person is seeing a beautiful guy, a human being who is so beautifully looking, he's thinking, wow, it's amazing as Hashem created such people. So that's what Rashi says, the explanation, why you wash your hands. It's interesting, the Rambam quotes that a person should be washing his face, his hands, and his feet every single day. And the Ravid says, I have no idea where the Rambam got this from. I don't see any source in Gemara that says you have to wash your feet for davening. This is talking about before Shacharis, for davening every day in the morning. So the Migdal Oz is mitame on the right, but he says the Gemara over here is beferish. The Gemara says that a person should be watching every single day. The Rambam just says you should do it before davening in order kipal shalamaneo to make yourself beautiful for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very nice thing to be doing. Again, I don't think we paskin that you should be doing like that Rambam to wash your feet. But lemaisa, the Rambam does seem to come from this beferish Gemara. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer Kupa mit mata al tzida v'notol shema yito. So we had a machlokas Rabbi Lazar. The Mishnah wasn't clear, so we're going to explain the Gemara. So now we're going to explain this. That in regards again, the thing that you were insulating with the gizet semer, a person was using the wool shearings to use as his insulation. So it's a machlokas whether if it's going to fall back onto the, are you allowed to put the pot back on to the hole over here? Are you allowed to put it back or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Barchi Amar Rashi, Hakom Modim Shim Niskalkal Guma Shasr Lachsar. Everyone's going to agree that if the hole that it was in is got ruined, and meaning that what? That the Gizei Tzemer, that the shearings fell into it, that it would be usher to return the pot back onto it because these shearings are mukta. And you're not allowed to put it back on because that was, you're putting it onto, you're making a bustle davar usher to putting it onto the mukta item. So the Gemara says, Tnan. That's really true though. The Chachamim said you're allowed to move it and return it. What's the case where you're allowed to return it? If the hole didn't get ruined, meaning that the shearings didn't fall in it, Shapar Kamar Abundance. So then the rabbis make total sense. Why would Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria argue on that and say you're not allowed to move it back? There's no mukta in the hole right now. What's the problem putting it back over there? Isn't that clearly showing that the hole became ruined? And therefore, even in such a case, the rabbis are going to say that it's mutter, Chachamim are going to hold that it's mutter, against what Rabbi Abba Bar Chiya wants to say, that everyone agrees that it's going to be usher. So the Gemara says, no, lo. Actually, the Mishnah is referring to the hole didn't get ruined. You're right. Even where it didn't fall in, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is going to be machmir in that situation. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is machmir, and he says that we're afraid that since it's very likely that these shearings are going to fall in and make it mukta, and then you can't put the pot there. And therefore, we're always going to be gozer even where it didn't fall in. And say, no, we're not going to go that far for this. We're going to allow you to move it back as long as the mukta items are not there. It is going to be mutter. So we come back and say, yeah, really, that is a big chum of Elazar ben Azaria. Even if there are no shearings there, still going to be usher, lest they fall in. So continues the Gemara now with another rule about mukta. Har amar of Huna, hai slikusa. With the slikusa, what was a slikusa? Rashi says it had a great smell and looked very nice, and very rich people used to use it. They would put it, insert it into the, they would fill their pots with the ground, and then they would insert the plants into it. So if a person wanted to pick it up, they would smell it and put it back into the ground. That's what they would do. So the Gemara now says, that's a shlafa vada, that's a sharia. If a person put it into the ground, and then took it out and put it in before Shabbos, then on Shabbos it's going to be mutter to put it back in on Shabbos. You're not going to have to assume that the soil is going to be mukta, because since you used it before Shabbos, it shows it not mukta. That is how Rashi explains it. Ve'ilav aser, but if a person didn't do this, then it's going to be aser on Shabbos, because then it's going to be moving the soil, which is a problem of mukta on Shabbos. Amar Shmuel, however, there's another Amora. Shmuel says, Hai Sakina, who quotes the following, Alachas, Sakina de Bene Arube, when it comes to the knife that's between these rows of bricks, and you're leaving it there, Datza Shafa Dar Datza Shari. If a person inserted it and put it back in before Shabbos, it's Mutter Vilav Asr. If it is not Asr, if he did not put it back in the wall and put it back in now, it is going to be Asr to remove it on Shabbos. It's just important to note that the Rashi says again, this whole thing is about Mukta and the bricks being Mukta over here. When it comes to the Levanim, the mortar and the sand, that's Mukta to move it. There's a continuation about Mukta. However, the Chumash Sedeshin quotes from the Mordechai that these past two halachas have nothing to do with the halacha of Mukta. Rather, this is the topic of the Isser of widening a hole on Shabbos, Kodach, which is a tolda of Bone. And this, the Truma Sedeshin quotes over here, basically this is a really important sugya, because it comes out over here that the concept of Psik Resha de Lanichalei is the source for this being mutter on an Isser Derbanan, is this Gemara over here. I don't have time to expand upon that more than that, but if you're interested, you should look at that Truma Sedeshin. It's quoted at the end of Shin Yudalid, in the Beis Yosef. Okay, the Gemara now says, Mar Zucha Vetimar Ravashi Amar Begdusa Dekane Shapir Dami. So that Rabucha says in Ravashi that if a person has the knife and wants to keep in safekeeping, and it's a comb of reeds, that it is going, a person doesn't have to be concerned that he's going to scrape off the peel, and it is going to be ma'achek, that it would not be problematic. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Amar Lehu, Amar Le, Rav Mordechai Le Rav, Mordechai asked Rav, Meisi, Rav Katina Tiyufta, Rav Katina asked Akasha on these rulings from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Atomen Lefes, it's known as Takas Agefen, or someone who buries a turnip or radish in the ground under a grapevine for storage, it makes us all of Megulin. If some of his leaves are going to be open and above the ground, in a choshes, you don't have to be worried for the following halachas. Lo mishim kilayim, not for kilayim. Kilayim, we're talking about over here, is kilay hakerem. A person is usher to mix, to plant, really, put them together, planting grains with a vineyard. So the Mishnah is teaching us that in this situation, when you bury the vegetables under the grapevine, he's not. The vegetables haven't taken root yet. You haven't violated Isser Kilayim yet. Mishum Shvius, also Shvius, of planting on Shvius. So because it didn't take root. And also Lo Mishum Meiser, because it's not subject to the Lachas of Meiser yet. Again, because these things are not fully planted yet. V'netal m'shabes, and the turnip may be removed on Shabbos by grabbing it by its leaves. So this is the halacha we're bringing it up for, because if removing the turnip or the radish in this way, it's clearly you're going to move the ground which is with it. And the Mishnah says that it's mutter, so we see that what? We're not concerned with the indirect movement of the earth, of the ground, in this situation, so therefore it should also be mutter to move this plant, this lizka plant, should be mutter on Shabbos, because you're moving it without a problem. The Gemara says, you're right, tiyufta, that is akasha on Rav Huna and Shmuel's ruling, so therefore it would not be a problem moving the muksa in this manner. Okay, we'll pick up from the Mishnah, Mirtzah Hashem, tomorrow.